Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you for being with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a Washington Post article written by Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley is a Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law at George Washington University. He wrote an article titled, "Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech." Why are we discussing this? Because our culture is heading in a direction where our ability to speak freely our minds is certainly being challenged. Today, we are looking at a portion of this article that deals with the subject of hate speech. There is a section called Speech is Hateful. The second paragraph in that section, I think, is pertinent to our talk here, Eric. What does he say?
Other Western nations routinely bar forms of speech considered hateful. Britain prohibits any abusive or insulting words meant to stir up racial hatred. Canada outlaws any writing, sign, or visible representation that incites hatred against any identifiable group. These laws ban speech based not only on its content, but on the reaction of others. Speakers are often called to answer for their divisive or insulting speech before bodies like the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal.
Now, of course, one of the major problems with laws like this is they are never carried out with any amount of equity. For instance, he mentioned specifically that Britain prohibits any abusive or insulting words, but yet Muslims have demonstrated in the streets of London more than once. And when you look carefully at some of the signs that are being held by some of these Islamic people, does it sound like it would be a violation of the very laws that this gentleman is talking about? And if it is a violation of those laws that are on the book, do you have some examples there?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the internet, and I'm looking at some different pictures of protests that took place in Great Britain. For instance, this one sign says, "Slay those who insult Islam." "Butcher those" is another one that says, "Butcher those who mock Islam." Europe, takes some lessons from 9/11. That sounds pretty threatening to me. "Massacre those who insult Islam."
Now, every one of those sounds a little bit threatening. You would think that it would come under the British prohibition of abusive or insulting words. Now, certainly such messages that threaten bodily harm and even murder should be looked at with a lot of concern. But a lot of the speech that is being accused of being hateful does not even come close to being so extreme. Here's the thing. We, of course, get a lot of email from people who dislike what we're doing. And I expect them to probably disagree with our conclusions. But yet, instead of offering a very cogent rebuttal, many times they resort to the ad hominem, or attack against the man. We have several of these. We just want to read a few of them. Why don't you read that one on the top there?
Here's one that says, "We do not spend any time trying to find fault with other denominations. We say, take your truth and add ours to it."
Okay, let me stop you there. Here's the problem. This person who writes this email fails to take into account when he says, "We say, take your truth and add ours to it." We don't think Mormonism is truth.
All right.
So why would we want to add it to what we believe? See, there's the problem. You see, we believe that this presupposition is faulty. So when he says, "We say, take your truth and add ours to it," well, we don't think a lot of what you have there is worth believing.
Well, Bill, adding to our truth, what we believe to be truth, is going to make what we now believe to be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're talking about an opposing system that disagrees with us on every fundamental issue. And it goes on and says, "Maybe focus on what we have in common, because people of values need to stick together. Evangelicals hate for Mormons helped get Obama into the White House." Yeah, that turned out great. So do you, like other anti-Mormon ministries, profess that Mormons will burn in hell?
Okay, evangelicals hate for Mormons. Really? Evangelicals hate Mormons? What? Is that what they really think?
I'm looking at one of these Islamic pictures, and a lady with a veil says, "Be prepared for the real Holocaust." Is that what we're doing when we?
Yeah, are we really espousing things? Are we actually inciting people to do bodily harm against Mormons? Are we trying to engage them in some type of intellectual dialogue? There is no hatred. Now, could they find somebody who claims to be an evangelical who seems to really hate? Probably. There's a lot of them out there. Well, there's a lot of evangelicals out there.
There can also be Mormons who have said things to us that we consider to be very hateful toward us.
Let me give you an example of this. When he says, when this person writes and says, "So do you, like other anti-Mormon ministries, profess that Mormons will burn in hell?" Whoa, wait a minute, guy. It was Jesus that said that there were going to be people who will suffer in hell throughout eternity. Just because a person may believe that there are some people that are going to be punished for eternity in hell does not necessitate hate, unless you want to say that Jesus was a hater. Mm-hmm. Because, see, this is an unintelligent argument that this person is using. This is purely emotion. This person has not thought through this. When we say that we may believe that there are eternal consequences for believing in the heresies of Mormonism, if we really hated, we would relish in that fact, and we don't. See, this is the problem with all this agree to disagree type of dialogue. We may agree to disagree, but the problem is many of these evangelicals who just want to make nice with their Mormon neighbors, they don't grieve that they disagree. That's the missing component that I think a lot of this fake dialogue stuff that's going on right now. And I call it fake because all it is, well, it's just, you talk about your nice experiences, I'll talk about mine, but we never really try to get down to brass tacks on why Mormonism is troublesome to us, because it's going to have an eternal consequence on people. As a Christian, that should bother you. Now, I understand that not every conversation is going to call for asking the very hard questions, but many Christians now think that we agree to disagree, and there's no grieving that the Mormon is believing things that will have these eternal consequences. And I don't see a lot of the people advocating the Fuller Seminary aspect or the Richard Mao aspect grieving over these differences. We should be. And this is problematic. When we look at what this one Mormon wrote me, and I've used this as an example, "It is with great pleasure that I will stand as a witness against you at the final judgment and condemn you. Your endless torture will be payment for your evil deeds here on this earth. What a total complete loser you are. That's all there is to it. You are one big loser." Now, I know who this individual is, and I've seen his snarky comments pop up on several Christian Facebook pages and blog sites. Does that sound like he may have hatred towards Christians?
Well, he's not even being consistent with with Mormonism itself. The leaders have not taught that you're going to be endlessly tortured. You're going to be probably in the terrestrial kingdom, great resurrection place to be, where most Mormons are going to end up. So how can that be a place of endless torture?
I don't know, but obviously he finds some kind of delight in seeing me being judged and actually judging against me. You see, I would never relish that thought. The thought of people who hold to the Mormon heresy and dying in that condition troubles me greatly. Now, I can only say that so much. I can only act that out so much. If a Mormon still insists that because I disagree with Mormon theology that somehow I hate, then that's their problem.
Well, you would be a fiend if you held to that, because your whole ministry, your whole life has been dedicated to this. And you are doing your best to bring people out into the truth, because this is not what you're about. This is not what I'm about. We've dedicated our lives for the very reason we want to be able to warn people that there really is a hell. This gentleman does not even have a theology of hell the way that we do. And it's a torturous place. And we certainly are not going to be looking on and wishing those people to be there.
But somehow thinking just because we believe that there's some type of eternal punishment equates that with hatred is silly. We're trying to avoid that. If we really sincerely believe that, Christian, if you really do believe that there is an eternal punishment for those who don't put their complete trust in what Jesus did for them on the cross, if you really believe that, wouldn't you want to do something about that? And this is the problem that I have with these phony dialogues. It's like, okay, you believe your heresy, I'll believe what you think is heresy, and we just go smiling on our ways.
That's the first step to pluralism or universalism, that always lead to truth. The Mormon really doesn't believe that, that I'm going to be able to make it to the very best his religion has to offer. Don't play games. I'm not going to the celestial kingdom if I follow the way that I am following, if Mormonism is true. I think it's every Mormon needs to be telling me more about this. They should be spending more time evangelizing their faith. If they are concerned about me, tell me a little bit more about how I can go to the celestial kingdom.
Well, they complain when we may show up at a Mormon event like the Mormon Miracle Pageant. And they say, well, we never show up at your church. My response to that is, well, if you really were concerned about me, why aren't you showing up at my church?
Right.
Why aren't you trying to make a concerted effort to convince me that Mormonism is true?
In the latest Ensign magazine, the October edition, they made a big deal about personal evangelism. They'd had several different articles talking about how the Mormons need to be doing more and not just relying on the missionaries.
And if the missionaries are going to go out there, if the people are supposed to try to evangelize, what does that mean? You're going to be promoting a truth claim that you obviously already know others don't hold. So you're going to have to cross that line into controversy. And you're going to have to say some things that that other individual may not like. Now, when a Mormon tells me what they believe to be true, do I automatically assume that's hatred? No. I would like to think it's because maybe I've been at this so long and I'm trying to think a little bit more with a mature level, but still I don't think it's hatred at all. They're merely sharing with me what they believe to be true. I can respect that.
Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. God wanted to reason with us. We should be willing to reason with each other.
The problem, of course, when you start talking about hate speech, who defines the hate?
That's it.
And it may not be hate at all. It could be a genuine concern that your misunderstanding causes you to conclude that it's
right.
Hate. There's the problem with our definitions here. Sadly, many Latter-day Saints do that. They're part of the problem on this. And so we need to certainly not be abrasive or obnoxious and try to present ourselves in a loving way, but still, we know that our message will probably rub some people the wrong way.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.